This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Rupert just made two big tosses to put Hillsborough up three. Still one in bonus. Missed it. Back rim. Rebound tapped around. Who has it? It is loose. Jill Staten has it with five. Cavi's got to hurry. Lead pass real. 2 seconds for the tie. Let's it fly. Oh, she banked it in. She banked it in at the buzzer. And we are going to overtime. Holy smokes. Lily Reels did it again. She hit a three at the end of the first half to put him up one. Hits a three here. The question is, was it a three? Her feet were real close to the line. The bucket was in front of the horn. Was it a three-point shot? That is the question. The Cavaliers are very invested in the official conversation right now. They have not put the points on the board as of yet, and it is going to be a three-pointer. We are going to overtime.
We say good morning. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Mize here, Sean Bellent with us, of course. And, Sean, as it turns out, it was not a three-pointer. Feet were on the line, but they called it a three, and that was a thrilling, thrilling win for the Cavaliers as they beat Hillsborough 51-49 in overtime to win the Hillsborough Regional Championship, and they will now play Quincy Notre Dame in the sectional semifinal at Waverly on Tuesday night. A broadcast will carry live here on WSMI FM 106.1. But, Sean, that was high drama, and back in the day when Terry Toad and Don Huddleston would do a ball game like that, HUD would have said that thing was wild, woolly, and full of fleas.
You can't beat a description like that. I think even Dr. Seuss, if he were with us, would bow at that moment.
Just a sensational ball game last night. Obviously, heartbreak for the Toppers as they stormed back from a 7-point deficit in the fourth quarter, took a lead only to have the Cavaliers come back and tie it there at the horn. But, Sean, that type of game, that's what high school sports and basketball is all about. Both teams left it all out on the floor, couldn't have played any harder. Obviously, both teams wanted it so bad, and it's unfortunate in that situation that somebody has to lose the ball game, but that's the way it works.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's the human element, I don't ever want to see the human element go away from sports. I don't want robots or some floating camera overhead determining meh, meh, inside the arc, meh, meh, you know. I mean, this is why you have great conversations at high school reunions 10 years down the road. Remember that game where we really probably shouldn't have advanced, but doggone it, you made the clutch shot anyway.
Wait,
that's the good stuff.
The shot always gets longer too, right? 20 years from now, her feet will be on the mid-court line.
Yes. Yes, time has a way of padding the resume.
I tell you what, though, Carlinville talked about it all week. They're dangerous when they're making threes because their defense keeps them in almost every game they play. They made six threes in the first half last night, only one in the second half, but, boy, was it a big one. And we'll have the conversations we had with Lily Reels and Jill Staten after the game. We'll bring those to you here in just a moment on Sports Saturday. We'll also bring you the conversation we had last night with Darren Deneve, as well as the Carlinville Cavaliers, an improbable regional championship. And, you know, Sean, it's a young team. Jill Staten, obviously the unquestioned senior leader, but they play a lot of freshmen. They play sophomores. Lily Reel is only a junior. So this is a team that's on the rise. You know, the numbers were low this year. They weren't able to play full JV games throughout the season. But, man, the kids that they had in the program this year, hats off to them. Just remarkable.
And isn't that something? Sometimes I think a bad thing can be a good thing. I'm sure, you know, it's out of necessity. You know what? We're going to leave Taberzi in there. Like the other night, four fouls, the game I called. And they keep her in there, and she makes this strong move to the bucket against three defenders. A key bucket as they rallied against Gillespie. So, you know, sometimes things you don't like at the front end, you wind up liking on the back end.
Well, Sean, and that, with the regional starting on Saturday, it was a week ago in the quarterfinal game. You just mentioned you had the call. Carlinville was down 8 going into the fourth quarter of the regional quarterfinal, and now they're getting set to play in the sectional.
Yeah, and again, Jill just, you know, it's like Jill and Taberzi really took over that game, and, you know, she just, you know, she's not really flashy, but, boy, she just, she has an extra gear in that transition game. Her basketball IQ is off the charts, and, you know, she is not afraid. She's not timid to make that big shot, to go for the big shot that is going to help rally you from that eight-run deficit, that eight-point deficit. And, boy, I mean, she hits the big shots, and, yeah, what a great leader, and certainly leading by example, and I think she has rubbed off on those underclassmen.
Carlinville's kind of like that professional football team that plays in cold weather, hard-nosed defense. They're not afraid to play ugly and win ugly. And when you get in that type of game and you're comfortable in that type of game, boy, do you have a nice advantage.
Yeah. I mean, when you you aren't getting the 15-footers, you're not getting the threes, and you just kind of have to make things happen in the lane and the blocks, or just kind of get that tip in. They get it done. Whatever the game calls for, they're adaptable.
Well, they got it done last night as Lily Reels banked in the game-tying three at the end of regulation to force overtime. But Lily hit a big three off the left wing to close out the first half to put Carlinville up 1. And when we talked to Lily Reels last night, that's where the conversation started. Surely she thought that would be the biggest shot she would hit all night.
You hit a three right here in front of us at the end of the first half to give you guys a one-point lead. And maybe when you took that shot, you thought, oh, that might be the biggest shot I make tonight.
Yeah, that's what was going through my head. I was like, that's pretty nice, you know. But it clearly wasn't.
Clearly wasn't. Take me through that last play.
I looked at the clock, and I knew I had a few seconds left. And I knew someone was on me, so I kind of tried to get away from them a little bit. And it all worked out because Bella passed me the ball, and I kind of just threw it up, to be honest, and it banked in. So I couldn't be more happier about that.
The old saying is, it's better to be lucky than good.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Lily, talk to me about the energy in this ball game
tonight. Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever had this much of an exciting game in my life. I came in here really nervous, but I was like, you know what, calm down. It'll be okay, whatever happens. And so then when throughout the game is just an amazing energy, and then when I hit that last shot, I couldn't hold my emotions in. I almost started crying. But I was like, wait, we have 4 more minutes left to go. So
it's been such an interesting year for you guys because your numbers are so low, so you didn't have full JV games.
Right.
But talk to me about just the grit of this team.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. You know, starting off, we kind of were a little shaky with our record, but I think we worked so much better. Like, we worked so good as a team, and that I wouldn't change it for the world. I would not. They're an amazing group of girls. I mean, I'm so happy that I have a team like this. I really am.
What can you say about that young lady sitting over there?
Leader. I mean, inspirer. Yeah, she really encourages everybody on that team. During halftime, if we're down, whether we're up or down, she's always telling us what we need to work on, and she doesn't. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
Lily, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
See you on Tuesday.
Yeah, see ya.
The Carlinville Cavaliers will be playing in the Waverly Sectional Semifinal Tuesday night. We'll have live coverage at 7:30 here on WQSMI FM 106.1. And Jill Staten, congratulations. My goodness gracious, you've won a lot of ball games in your time at Carlinville. Nothing quite like that.
No, nothing like that. It was awesome.
Talk about that last sequence, because it didn't look good.
Oh, no. I don't know. Honestly, I just had a gut feeling that, like, I just knew it was going to work out at the end, and I trust my teammates 100%, and that's all I had to do in that moment.
The one word that seems everyone uses to describe you, Jill, is leader. Where did that come from?
Well, ever since my freshman year, I've always been playing ball, and I've just grown up playing basketball, to be honest, and it's just happy to, like, see, like, now that I'm a senior, I get to, like, be that person.
Well, you know, you only got to play in 3 regionals in high school, obviously, because of COVID. You won 2 of them. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is nice. Feels good.
Jill, this was a game tonight, high intensity, and you had a tough matchup with Lainey Rupert there. She was on you all night. You had your turn on her. Just talk about that matchup when you know you're going up against an elite player like that.
Yes, she is a very good player, and we obviously both have the same play of basketball. So not nerve-wracking, but I definitely like guarding her. And even though she did drop points on me, I still enjoyed.
But that's part of competing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Embracing the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just being a competitor in general.
What's it been like for you this year, you know, the only senior, all these young pups you've brought them along? You're probably almost like a proud mama in some way.
Honestly, I am. Because honestly, if it wasn't for them, I would not be here.
Yeah.
So I have to lean on them, and I love them so much.
And, you know, speaking of Bella Taberzi and Hannah Gibson, they both had huge, huge ball games for you tonight. Talk about just those two kids and how they've gotten better here as the year's gone on.
Yes. For a freshman, I can't wait to see them as a senior.
Yeah.
And just see them grow up, because they're awesome as a freshman right now, and I just can't wait to see them.
Well, I know everybody outside of Collinville in the South Central Conference is thinking, thank goodness Jill Staton's a senior. Because you have played so much basketball and played it at such a high level. You don't want your career to come to an end. I could see that in your intensity tonight, to where you basically were saying, I am not ending my high school career tonight.
Correct. Correct.
Jill, congratulations.
Yes,
and we'll see you on Tuesday.
That was Lily Reels and Jill Staton after the ball game last night. And Sean, there's nothing like seeing pure joy on the faces of young kids after a ball game like that. And we'll have the interview we have with Darren Deneve coming up later in the hour. But he made the comment last night about they've been making memories all season and all week long. And that's the type of stuff, you know, 20 years from now, they'll always remember this.
You know, I say this about, you know, sometimes we've seen this with women's college basketball where they, you know, they kind of, to me, they hit the Title IX thing a little hard, and they don't, I think, you know, you want to put that in the conversation, but I think they're the coaches that I really like, you know, like the fella at UConn and others who just say, we have a great game. It's a different game. It's a unique game. And there's a certain joy in watching. I know I've said this before, but I'll repeat it one more time. What the heck? There is a joy in watching girls play where they have those unfiltered emotions. You know, the guys, we want to act like we've been there before. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew I was going to get the big shot. Oh, yeah. I knew we were going to get past these guys. You know, and you just see authentic emotion out there. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. And, there's a different camaraderie, and that goes across basketball and volleyball and the girls' sports. So it's you know, it's different in a good way.
Congratulations to the Carthenville Cavaliers, regional champions, off to the Waverly Sectional to take on Quincy Notre Dame. We'll have live coverage Tuesday night about 7:20 for the 7:30 tip here on WUSMI, of course, online as well at WUSMIRadio.com. And as far as the Hilltoppers go, Sean, that is a tough way to have your season end. But they start five juniors, so they are bringing back a bulk of that club for next year. And there will be motivation. The young ladies for Hillsborough, they're going to, I would imagine, recall that game quite a few times during the offseason. And they will be using it to make themselves better for their senior season.
Isn't it something, academics, if you excel, you get done early. You just got to show up for a class or two, depending on the district. And in the athletic side of it, the better you do, the longer you're around. And, yeah, these games, every game is special. And, yeah, it's a great bonding experience. And can't say enough about the benefits of athletics and just how it helps you become a more well-rounded person. These victories, it's not a selling point just for the NCAA. It's legit that this builds confidence in the workplace and, you know, deeper friendships. The value is certainly not something that will be limited to 2022.
Well, that's what Terry Toe would always say. Athletics is just merely another extension of the classroom, and it is so, so true. So girls' postseason has reached the sectional level. Boys' postseason gets underway today with regional quarterfinal action. Hillsborough will be hosting Roxana. Nokomis will be hosting Patoka. We're going to talk with Kyle McBrain and Dan DeWerf about their postseason journeys getting underway today when Sports Saturday rolls on.
23 minutes after 9 on this Saturday morning, and we continue with the Sports Saturday Show and Tim Mize and Sean Bollint.
All right, Randall, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday. Coming up today on the radio, a regional boys doubleheader, as we will have Carthenville at Litchfield, live coverage at 1:50 this afternoon on WQSMI FM 106.1, and then Bunker Hill will be at Lincolnwood this evening for a 6 o'clock game and a live coverage about 5:50 tonight on WQSMI FM 106. We'll stream both online at WQSMIRadio.com. Other boys regional games today. Roxana will be at Hillsboro. That's a 2 o'clock tip, and it will wind up being senior day for the Toppers, as they were scheduled to play Gillespie last night, which would have been senior night, but then when Mother Nature rolled in on Thursday and postponed the girls' regional championships back to Friday night, the Toppers and the Miners decided to put that game on the shelf. So it'll be senior day today in front of the regional quarterfinal game with Roxana for Hillsboro. And we're happy to have on the phone right now Hilltopper head coach Kyle McBrain. And Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, and it is certainly different and strange to have regional play getting underway on a Saturday.
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. Second of all, yeah, it's definitely a little different environment, but, you know, we played Auburn at around a 2 o'clock start on a couple Saturdays ago. And it was kind of, I kind of liked it. It was like almost like a college sort of environment playing on a Saturday afternoon.
And Kyle, it will be, I guess, different today, senior day in front of the regional game. But, man, your senior group, boy, have they given so much to the Topper program.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're blessed to have our seniors. You know, obviously, Drake and Gavin get a lot of the attention, and rightfully so. But, you know, we've got Blaine Stewart, who came over, obviously, from Litchfield, who's done a great job for us, filling some roles and just kind of being a team player. And Bryce Connor, who's been in the program for 4 years, who he's going to get a start today. And, you know, a lot of those kind of guys don't get the attention that maybe they deserve, because I'm telling you right now, without Bryce Connor on the bench, just being an awesome teammate. And, you know, he's the kind of kid that could have sat around and pouted or turned his jersey in early, and I'm just really proud of what he's done for us this year as well.
Well, Coach, I look at Roxana's resume, and, boy, it's almost confusing, I'd say. 6 wins, you know, at face value, you're thinking cakewalk on the outside looking in, but it seems like this is the kind of team that's going to feed on something like apathy, being taken for granted, and especially a low-scoring, cold-shooting kind of afternoon. I mean, I look, they have some 40-point losses, but then you look at other parts of the resume, and they get a 1-point win over Oakville. That really caught my eye. So you can't take anything for granted with this club. They seem to like that that game that's, you know, just one of those low-scoring dogfights.
Oh, no doubt about it. We've you try to kind of instill that in the guys at practice, not to make them play, you know, tight or nervous or anything, but anything can happen in regionals. And if you go up and down Roxana's schedule, they haven't exactly played the easiest schedule either. You know, they've played some pretty tough teams. So, sorry, my son's tracking me down. No, in their last two games, they've played pretty well, and I think they beat Carrollton. They beat Carrollton, and then I think they picked up another win maybe yesterday, or it was a really close game. So they've got a couple kids that can play, and they like to shoot from outside. And Coach Briggs does a good job of mixing up their defense and kind of does some unique things. So, yeah, you can't look over anybody at this point in the season.
And your son has employed the full court press, I understand.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's 3, and, he was missing some Legos, so I had to help him out.
That's a real emergency right there. We can't have Legos MIA now.
No. We got him happy. I think he's good now.
Kyle, it has been, obviously, a very emotional season for the Toppers off the court. Everyone knows the tragedy that struck. But coming into this season, You guys had a big bullseye on your back. And as the season has gone along, how do you feel like you guys have dealt with that, getting everybody's best shot?
Yeah, I think that's something we noticed pretty early on, that it seemed like, you know, you'd kind of see what teams had done to other teams, and just it seemed like they would play their best game against us. But that's kind of the part of it. You know, these guys, the boys, were coming off the undefeated season under Coach Vanzo, and that does kind of put a target on your back. And, you know, this season, I know Coach Burkett would always tell me whenever I was playing high school basketball about, man, this is it's a marathon, not a sprint. And as a high school kid, you don't really understand. I felt like everything was a sprint. I felt like the season couldn't be long enough. But as a coach, kind of seeing the guys go through the ups and downs and just the, you know, the highs and the lows and, you know, of course, the stuff we kind of went through with Blaze and Blaze battling through that kind of stuff. And there's just been – I feel like there's been about 10 seasons worth of stuff that's gone on. So hopefully we kind of take everything that we've battled through together and come together at the right time.
You know, Kyle, there's, you know, there's sports tough and there's real-life tough. Blaze Helton is real-life tough.
And there's no doubt about it. We, I don't know how many times I've said or I've heard people say, you know, how is he playing right now? And I'm like, it's amazing. And not just for him to be there for his teammates and bring the same energy. And it was truly inspiring. That's about the only way I can put it.
Well, Coach, you know, you don't want to design one-point wins, but I have to think getting a one-point victory in a tough place to play that big gym in Vandalia this past week, that has to really be a good paving way for getting ready for the postseason and dealing with those postseason jitters.
Oh, no doubt about it. And we talked about it after the Vandalia game, like, this is what it's going to feel like. You know, the crowd's going to be intense, emotions are going to be high, and we've had a handful of those lately. And you know, we had a tough shooting night at Litchfield, and Litchfield played great, and we ended up going to overtime over there. So even you can learn stuff from the losses and learn stuff from the wins at the same time. But yeah, we've definitely experienced some pressure basketball over the last month. So hopefully that will help us when we get into those spots.
You know, it's always a big accomplishment when a kid gets to 1,000 points in his high school career. You got two of them that got there this year, and Drake Vogel and Gavin Matouche. But any kid who scores 1,000 points in this window, to me, it's even more impressive because last season they didn't get as many games. They got about half the number of games you would normally get.
Oh, no doubt. That definitely shows their longevity and consistency over their high school careers. And you know, I've always been a baseball coach, so in baseball some freshmen and sophomores can come in and really make a big impact, but it's kind of tough sometimes in a physical sport like basketball or even football. So that just shows that those guys have had amazing careers, and to only have a half a season and still make it to 1,000 for both of them is really impressive.
Yeah, Coach, I know the two-sport coach is certainly a greater rarity these days. At this point in the season, how do you feel just holding up to the dual workload?
Well, I got some baseball guys on me that are even baseball guys on the basketball team. They're like, hey, come on, can we start open gyms? And I'm like, hey, let's get to regionals. And there's still snow on the ground. We're going to have plenty of gym time. So I think some baseball guys are chomping at the bit, and I'll be excited when that comes, but I want to keep playing basketball as long as possible.
You know, speaking of your combination of basketball and baseball guys, Declan Riggs was huge for you as a freshman last year on the baseball diamond. But, boy, he's a critical cog to your basketball operation.
Yeah, you know, I know Declan is a very confident kid, and he was kind of disappointed in maybe his minutes he was getting early on in the season, and I just kind of talked to him about be patient, you know, take advantage of your opportunity when it comes, and he really has, and Jay Stewart's the same way. Those guys, you never want to go in like rebuild mode in the middle of a successful season, but it is important to kind of see what guys are going to do for the future. So those guys have really, really stepped up for us, especially, you know, the last couple of weeks. We've had sickness, we've had kids missing games, and not had our original starting lineup. So for those two sophomores to step up has been really big for us.
And have you seen, being the two sport coach and those athletes who play on both teams, have you seen a benefit for the athletes as far as, you know, they're not playing for the coach as far as in games, you know, 3 months out of the year, but 6 months of the year, and it just seems like I would have to think that day-to-day communication in games would have some kind of benefits on the hardwood and the diamond.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, obviously this is my first year coaching basketball, our boys varsity basketball and baseball, so that's kind of, I think obviously building the relationships is an important thing. So I think that'll be a benefit, but they could also get sick of me by May, so we'll see.
But, you know, I've heard Brett Teakin say he's a lot more laid back on the softball diamond than he is on the basketball floor. Is that the same for you?
No. Absolutely not.
Kyle, that's awesome. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and good luck today against the Shells.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. That's Kyle McBrain, the head basketball coach for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, Sean, I love the honesty. You know, Kyle, he's a baseball guy through and through. So, yeah, no less intensity on the baseball diamond.
That's a beautiful thing. That was a fun team to watch. I still remember calling the game where they had the great comeback against Nokomis. And, yeah, they just they play all out. They don't they don't walk away from a baseball game with clean jerseys, and I know you don't get dirt on the hardwood, at least most places.
Just floor burns. Unless,
yeah, unless the you know the janitor has been laid off. I mean, you're definitely gonna get those little strawberries and indications that you gave it a hard 32 minutes.
So Hillsboro will host Roxana. It will be senior day for the Toppers. That game's slated to get underway at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up on the radio, we'll have Carlinville at Litchfield today, live coverage at 1:50. Bunker Hill at Lincolnwood tonight, live coverage at 5:50. Both games on FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Coming up later this evening at 6 o'clock, Nokomis will be hosting Patoka in a regional quarterfinal. We will talk it over with Nokomis head coach Dan DeWerf when Sports Saturday rolls on. All right, Randall, thank you very much. We got Fighting Illini basketball coming up this morning on the road at Michigan State. Very important game for Illinois coming off of that loss at Rutgers. 10 o'clock pregame for the 11 o'clock tip this morning on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. A boys regional quarterfinal doubleheader for you today on WSMI as Carlinville will be at Litchfield, 2 o'clock tip, live coverage at 1:50. Bunker Hill will be at Lincolnwood, 6 o'clock tip, live coverage at 5:50. Both games tonight on WSMI FM 106.1. We hope to catch up with Dan DeWerf in a few moments here on Sports Saturday. While we have a moment, after the Carlinville win last night over Hillsboro in overtime, 51-49, we caught up with Carlinville Cavaliers head coach Darren Deneve and said, hey, just your standard ball game.
Just another day at the gym, I guess. Yeah, who knows what to say here. Pretty exciting stuff. Really proud of our girls. We've come a long way this year. We were nowhere ready for this kind of game in November, I can tell you that.
Darren, what a fascinating season. You didn't have enough girls in the program to have a JV team. And maybe what some people don't realize, when your numbers are that low, it's hard to have competitive practices.
Totally. That's been the biggest challenge. We did play some JV ball, some like shortened JV games after some varsity games, and that helped some of our girls for sure. But you're right about the practice situation. When you have 10 girls, it's hard to have a great practice, and you know, there's a lot of times where somebody has a dentist appointment or something, and so you have 9, and so you can't scrimmage. And we figured out a way to improve, though.
Hannah Gibson tonight, Darren. What a ball game she had on the inside. Point-wise, she scored 4 points, but she might have had five blocks.
She might have, and she got a ton of rebounds, I think, too. And, you know, she's a tough kid. We've got a lot of tough kids, and, you know, they battle at the end. These close games, they're getting used to it, and they don't back down from the challenge. And, of course, she had a big steal at the very end as well.
Lily Reels hit a big three at the end of the first half to give you the lead. Hit the three at the end of regulation, banked it in to force overtime. And I've said it before, Darren, when you guys are making threes, you are very dangerous because your defense is going to be there every night. When you shoot the three ball like you did, this is what happens.
Well, I don't know how many we made in the first half, but it was a lot. And, you know, we always sort of talk to each other, the coaching staff, before we go in and talk to the players. And, you know, we talk about what we should do on defense and what we should do on offense. When, you know, I just sort of looked and smiled at our coaches, and I said, maybe on offense we should just keep making threes. And so anyway, that was what the story was. One moment, please.
Darren's got to have a conversation with his assistant coach, Renee Raykemper, just making sure that Darren didn't want to talk to the team. He says, I already did it.
Thank you. I lost my train of thought, so hopefully I made sense in my last sentence.
It was all sorts of sense. Right
there. All right.
And, you know, this was one of those games. You guys had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. Hillsborough storms all the way back, takes a lead, but your team didn't panic.
No, we just kept playing and kept plugging away. And, you know, it's this whole postseason has been that way. What a run. You know, it's funny. There's years when, you know, things just sort of fall your way a little bit, and there's years when they don't. And so this year at the end, we've just had a stretch, a great week where the ball has sort of bounced our way, and you know, we're fortunate, and I'm really happy for our team.
Darren, this is far from the most talented team you've had in your years at Cromville, but my goodness, they have given you every single thing they have to offer.
That's true. And, you know, I don't know that I would go so far as to say that. It's just that we're young. I mean, we're talented. We're young. And so, you know, we're gonna see Isabella Taberzi and Hannah Gibson and Braylee Weiser and Jordan Lovelace and Addie Rule and all these girls, Carly Tips. We're going to see them all get better. And so we're talented. It's just that it's surprising, I think, you know, how far we've come, how much we've improved simply because of our youth.
And that's where the senior leadership of Jill Staten comes in. She has played, well, nobody's played more basketball for you, really, than she has over the course of her 4 years. And her leadership really showed tonight.
Oh, man, she's another coach in the huddle. She's a coach on the floor for sure. And, you know, it just seems like when we need something big to happen, you know, she's able to make the play. And so, you know, this play at half court where she was able to steal the ball with about a minute left, and, you know, it's or maybe it was less than a minute left, but that's just a senior that just really wanted to win. She was just not going to lose tonight. And so she's been really, really something this year in terms of her leadership and in terms of her work ethic, really, on the court. She just, you know, I never take her out. She played 36 minutes, and she just never gets tired, and she just keeps working.
You know, Darren, this was such a great basketball game, and it's a shame that somebody had to lose. You've been on the other side of it. It's a tough one to swallow when you're on the wrong side of it.
It is. You know, Hillsborough's had a great season. Coach Teakin, obviously, he's a Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned, and he's had a lot of great results, and he gets his girls to play well, and they're always so fundamentally sound. And you know, they're in our conference, and you know, so we like them, and you know, we hate for somebody to have to lose. You know, they're always a great opponent. I really like Coach Teakin and playing against his teams. And well, you heard us before the game. We're talking about how we're going to play this summer a little bit, and so that goes to show you that, you know, we have mutual respect for each other and job that both of us are doing.
Darren, just take me through that final sequence at the end of regulation. That was frenetic.
Well, you know, we were out of timeouts, and they're at the free throw line, and there's 9 seconds left, and we've got to play for that situation, but it's not like that's what we ran. And so we were able to just get the rebound and push the ball down the floor, and Jill has it, and, you know, accordingly, their defense collapses on Jill a little bit, and then she's able to find an open shooter, and it's Lily Reels, and thank goodness she had a hot hand tonight, and she made that shot as well.
Well, there's Lily Reels and Jill Staten hugging right now. Darren, I would imagine, I mean, you've coached a long time, but there's nothing more joyous for you, I would imagine, than when you see the joy on those faces.
Oh, it's exciting. You know, we talk before the game, when we talk about this kind of stuff a lot, you know, you there's a lot of cool things you can do in life. You can go on vacation. You can go see concerts. You can, you know, go see ball games. You can go, you know, all kinds of great stuff. There's sightseeing to do, and you do things with your family. But, you know, the special part about high school is that you don't get a chance to do these things except for a very small time period of your life. And when you do have an opportunity, you want to make the most of it. And that's what we did here. And really proud of them. And, you know, high school is about making memories sometimes. And we've been making memories all week.
That was Darren Deneve last night after the Carlinville Cavaliers beat Hillsborough in overtime, 51-49. One quick break. When we come back, we got Nokomis boys coach Dan DeWerf standing by when Sports Saturday rolls on. We're back here on WSMI Sports Saturday and glad to be joined on the phone right now by Nokomis head coach Dan DeWerf. And Dan, I'm sure you're super excited. You know, you didn't get to have this postseason last year, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, obviously excited for the kids. You know, that's something you don't think that would ever happen, mm-hmm. but obviously circumstances presented it for it to happen. So I know our boys are ready to go and, you know, we'll be ready to play tonight.
And Coach, I know it's difficult. You'd like to have some of those tighter games toward the end of the regular season. What do you do to kind of find that more competitive gear as you get ready for some of these nail biters in the postseason?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just being mentally ready to play. You know, we did go a week ago to Trenton Westland, and we weren't able to reschedule our game with Altamont. So going to there, and they're, you know, competitive 2A school, and I think that was a opportunity to kind of test us to go play on the road and, you know, play in an environment where after we just rode on a bus for an hour and 20 minutes, that was kind of a good break in between, you know, our last four games being at home. And, you know, it's nothing to take away from those four teams that we played, but, you know, it was maybe a little bit better competition that we were able to play there in Trenton, and hopefully that'll carry over to this Saturday.
You know, Dan, the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational, it's been about a month, I guess, since it got held. But, man, during that tournament, it seems like you guys found a different gear, really playing your best basketball of the year at that point. How have you transitioned from that into regionals now?
Well, up until here recently, I thought we've been kind of inconsistent. It was actually kind of after that, you know, that last game when we played Gateway Legacy, we kind of went through a little bit of a lull, if you will. You know, we weren't clicking on all cylinders, and Hillsborough had a lot to do with it, but I thought when we played them at their place, we weren't mentally locked into play. Even though the competition, again, taking nothing away from four of our last five wins from the MSM conference, but God, I think we've been playing our A game here lately, and hopefully, you know, that's going to carry over in the night. And if we can take care of business tonight into Wednesday, so it's more than anything mental, especially when you get to this time of the year. I believe, and if you're mentally ready to play, you know, it'll carry over. Once the game gets going.
That Gateway Legacy team, what a strange high school team. They had a dude like 6'8", looked like Giannis out there. I mean,
yeah.
So much size and athleticism all over the floor. But you guys, you took it right to them for most of that game.
Yeah. I think we just kind of lost a little steam at the end. And, you know, I think man for man in terms of talent, they might have been the best team talent-wise in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Again, not taking anything away from Matt Tune or Pena. But, you know, it was definitely a little bit different level of athleticism that we would typically see. And, you know, they had a lot of skill as well. Up until the last 2 minutes, we were right there. So I think our schedule, especially our non-conference schedule and our tournament schedule, has been a good test for us. And you know, we told our team, there isn't anybody that we haven't played. You know, we haven't seen a type of a style of ball that we haven't encountered yet this year, I don't believe. So hopefully that serves us well come postseason time.
Well, Coach, one little wisecrack and then a question. In future visits to Westland, I went there many moons ago, a big part of their home court advantage is drinking Ski. So you can kind of even things up by doing that. But anyway, on to real basketball matters. I think people used to talk about 20 wins a lot more in the past, certainly in the 80s. Does that barrier mean something to kids that, like, hey, we're Nokomis certified, or is that just another W on the calendar?
No, I think it still means something. You know, we've talked about it, and, you know, I think the last time we hadn't got 20 wins was maybe 2014 or 2014, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, it is something that, you know, we've discussed about getting to, and, you know, obviously we play 31 games now. You know, I guess you'd say a little bit better opportunity for that to happen than what it was back in the 90s when you might play only 24, 25 games in the regular season. You're getting six or seven more games than what you used to. But I think it's a goal that we talked about at the start of the year. And it's something we're shooting for tonight, obviously. You know, being on our home floor, 20th win, first game of the regionals. If we're not ready to play, then that's on us.
It's a weird circumstance. You're in the Patoka Regional, but you're hosting Patoka in the quarterfinal, and if you win, you go to Patoka. So it's just kind of an odd way that it worked out from that standpoint of things. It'll be a 6 o'clock game tonight. But, Dan, I wanted to ask you about Ryan Eisenbarth. Last time I saw you guys, it was at Hillsboro, and he got hurt in that ball game. How is he doing?
He's doing well. He's cleared to come back to play this past Monday, and he played against Edinburgh as well as Buffalo Tri-City. And you know, he's back in the thick of things. He's going to play tonight. You know, he plays a big part for us, obviously down low on both ends of the floor. He's our leading rebounder. You know, it's a pretty scary thing when he, you know, got hit in the head. You know, we're just glad he's able to come back and, you know, he's been able to transition and get back on the court.
You know, like back in, you know, years ago, would use phrases like, oh, got his bell rung, you know, seeing stars.
Yeah.
I used to never really think about concussions and basketball. You know, it was always a football thing, more of a collision sport thing. But anymore, that's a scary situation.
Yeah. Like you mentioned before, it was kind of a thing where you just kind of, you know, let the cobwebs clear and you just got back out there and played. But obviously we know a lot more about head injuries than what we used to. And, you know, he went through the protocol of being cleared back to play. And, you know, it does happen. You saw with, you know, Andre Curbelo on U of I. He had, you know, it took him a couple months pretty much to get back and clear to play. So it's different, you know, than like what you mentioned before, what it used to be. But, you know, he went through trainers and went through physicians, and, you know, we're glad to have him back.
Well, Coach, I mean, everybody is familiar with the storyline, played for Coach Kimbrough, followed in his footsteps. But looking back, what did you learn from getting those different influences from coaching north of Peoria and coaching with those great rivalries down there in Southern Illinois with that great double-decker gym in West Frankfort? How has that helped you develop as a coach? Not only mixing the Nokomis influence, but just having that flavor of different rivals, different styles, what have you. And certainly that would come into play in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone against some great programs and coaches, you know, whether it was when I was at Pawnee and coaching against Coach Kimbrough here at Nokomis. You know, you go against you know, Cliff Cameron at Pleasant Plains, and then you're getting to Southern Illinois, and a lot of good teams. It was a little bit different type of athleticism that I had experienced it when I was at Pawnee. You know, the Harrisburgs and the Murfreesboros and the Pinckneyvilles. I think the biggest thing I've learned is that first off, you've got to be prepared. And your practices have to be physical. They have to be tough. And that's something we had at Nokomis too. But when you see it on the other side of the fence as a coach, if you don't prepare your kid for that, when it comes to game time, it's too late. And, playing against those programs, if you're not ready to be prepared and ready to play, then you're going to get ran out of the gym. And, we played Pinckneyvilles and the Harrisburgs and the Murfreesboros and the Nashvilles. I had some my first couple of years down at West Frankfort, there's some tough games. You know, we didn't necessarily have the talent, but on top of that, I hate to say it, but our work ethic at that time when I went into there wasn't what it needed to be. And getting the guys to buy in that that's the way we got to practice, because then it's going to prepare us for the game. That was the biggest challenge. So, I was playing for Coach Kimbrough. He always had us ready to play, and it had a lot to do with the way we practice. And that goes a long way when it comes to game time.
Dan DeWert, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today. Take care of business against Patoka, and then we'll see you in Patoka on Wednesday, hopefully.
Okay, I hope so, too. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Dan DeWert, the head basketball coach at Nokomis. As boys' regional quarterfinals get underway today, we'll have live coverage of Carthenville at Litchfield. That'll be a 2 o'clock game, 1:50 tip on WQSMI FM 106.1. And then Bunker Hill at Lincolnwood tonight, 6 o'clock tip, 5:50 with the pregame. Both games on WQSMI FM 106.1 and streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. Coming up at 10 o'clock, so we are just a minute away, we will have Fighting Illini basketball for you as they are on the road at Michigan State live. Coming up inside of a minute over on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. Congratulations to the Carthenville Lady Cavaliers, regional champions in 2022 as they win the overtime thriller last night over the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Thanks to Kyle McBrain and Dan DeWerf for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Sean Belent, thank you, my friend. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, my friend.
For Sean and Randall, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.